This is our number
10. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news. News. My voice is shot. In a tidy little 15-minute package just for you, welcome to our Fastest 15. Now, Nicole, you promised me that if I ever start sounding like Don Imus at the end of his career, you'd pull the plug on the radio show. I'm not quite there yet, am I?
No, not yet. Uh-uh.
My voice is cracking. Here's what bothers me the most. I had kind of a long drive a couple of days ago, and I was listening to music, and I was singing at the top of my lungs, as I like to do in the car. And it was songs that I would sing when I was, 16, 20, 22. And I could hit every single note when I was a kid. And I can't hit any. I'm like Elton John now. Elton John cannot hit any high notes. And he's just it's sad to see him in concert because he can't do anything he used to do. And it was his vocal range that made him so distinctive, as opposed to someone like Billy Joel, who can still hit all the high register notes. And he's about the same age, but Billy Joel can still hit the notes. Elton John can't hit the notes, and I can't hit the notes anymore.
Well, your voice box has been good to you over the years, but you've put it through the ringer, I guess.
Well,
it's been a lot of years talking.
One problem that I have is I tend to project more than most. And so, I'm very loud when I'm on the air. And Sean, you're the engineer on this, so you can tell me if this is true.
Uh-huh.
But do you have to, we have a sliding volume knob. It's called a potentiometer, the pot. And do you have to have me much lower than most other people who are on the air?
Well, it's kind of strange because generally I would say yes, definitely. And with this new system we're using, I sort of have to turn your gain up a bit because the system is just different from what we normally do. But yeah, when you're on the mic and you're in studio, I do have to pot you down.
And that was a very conscious decision I made right at the beginning of my career because I, for whatever reason, I was trying to think, how am I going to stand out from the crowd? How am I going to sound different if people are spinning the dial? And I wanted to just kind of bust through the radio. And I thought, well, if I have all this energy and I do have so much passion for everything that I talk about. And so instead of being a really laid back, low key kind of talk show host who does everything down here, I do everything like Regis. And I tend to be very loud and I project a lot. But when you do that for 3 hours a day for more than 30 years, I guess I've been doing it for 35 years now in Seattle. It takes a toll on this little tool that God gave me. So I'm going to have to figure out how to modulate things so that I don't screw my voice up. Because I don't want to sound... Imus was just unlistenable at the end of his career because his voice was trash. But I think that was more from all the drugs that he did. And I don't do drugs, so hopefully I can keep my voice going.
Exercises that you could do. There's vocal exercises that would probably help.
Have I ever told you the really sweet story about going to see a vocal coach?
No.
You've heard almost all of my stories, but I don't think I've told you this one. So when I was a sports producer at King 5, the news anchor was a guy named Aaron Brown. And Aaron Brown, it was the news team at King 5 was Aaron Brown, Tony Ventrella doing sports, Jeff Renner doing weather. And the three of them, they got unbelievable ratings. They were getting like a 40 share for the 11 o'clock news. And Aaron Brown was the news superstar in Seattle. He was also a very off the air, a very shy, very quirky person who didn't talk much to little people like me. And one night, I ended up, Tony was working at a, he was doing some public speaking engagement. So I had to write the entire 11 o'clock sportscast, and I had to write it in Tony's voice. And I put in some really fun, creative things. And the newscast was over. It's about 11:35. I'm walking down the hall. Aaron Brown's walking the other way. He never talked to me. And it wasn't because he was arrogant. Everybody called him Arrogant Brown. I just think he was very shy. And he was, he called me. He goes, "Hey, kid, I want to talk to you for a second." And I'm thinking, oh, crap, what did I do? Because he never talked to the producers. And he pulled me into a side office, and he just looked really nervous. And it was one of the sweetest conversations I've ever had. He said, "Hey, I see that you've been practicing," because I would go on the news cam and record a sports cast and practice and hope that I could get on air someday. And he said, "I've been watching you, and I know that you're working real hard, and I saw your writing tonight, and I read through everything you read or you wrote, and but I don't think your voice is any good." And he said, "I want you to go see the voice coach that I have." And I said, "Okay, that was very sweet." And so I called the woman, and she charged $40 an hour. Well, I was making $4 an hour, so I couldn't pay $40 for a one-hour voice lesson. And so I called her, and then a couple of days later, once again, Aaron Brown comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, kid, did you call her?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, "I'm going to have to save to go and see her because I can't afford that right now." And he said, "Just make the appointment, go see her, and I'll pay for it." And I said, "I can't do that, Aaron." It was so sweet. He didn't know me from Adam. And just because he saw something that he thought was worth investing in. And so he paid for my first lesson, and then I paid for a couple after that. But I saw this vocal teacher, and she was really fantastic, and she taught me a lot of good little tricks. But just the idea that the number one news anchor in Seattle, and he later went on to Cairo TV, and then he went to CNN, where he was the number one guy. And just the fact that he saw something there that he was willing to invest in, it was the sweetest, most gracious. And I'm telling you, I have been touched by the most generous, sweet, gracious people who made my career possible. It's really been
overwhelming. It's kind of a reminder to look for opportunities like that to help people. You never know.
Yeah, and that's why. Yeah, and that's why, you know, when listeners reach out to us, and, you know, we did something for a listener today, and I don't want to go into any of the details, but gosh, you get this opportunity, this blessing of having the job we have where people feel a connection to you, and why wouldn't you want to reach out and help out other people? So, yeah, no, it meant an awful lot to me. Okay, I better get to the fastest 15 here. So I didn't have a chance to play this whole Gavin Newsom thing, Nicole, where he went to one of the most expensive restaurants in the world down in the Bay Area for the 50th birthday of a lobbyist buddy of his. And it turns out that after he told all of the people of California they should not, cannot go to restaurants indoors, he went to an indoor restaurant. And he said, well, but it was for a close friend.
A few weeks ago, I was asked to go to a friend's 50th birthday. My wife and I, a friend that I've known for almost 20 years, and a friend that had, well, put a lot of time and energy into his 50th birthday.
Okay, what were you going to say, Nicole?
Well, I was going to say, you said that it was an indoor restaurant, but they actually, they claim to be an outdoor restaurant. So he claims to be outdoor, but really they can shut it off with these sliding doors that make it indoor, but it's very open typically. So just to be clear, they actually sell themselves as an outdoor restaurant.
But it's a, one of those places, you're absolutely right, but it's one of those places where, you know, they either have a wall they can completely open up to the outdoors. Some places have big garage doors they can open up, and they claim it's outdoors. So he got busted. I didn't have a chance to play all of this soundbite from the woman who busted Gavin Newsom, took pictures of him violating the rules he's imposed on the people of his state.
I just happened to look over and realize, hey, is that Gavin Newsom? Who is that? And I did ask one of the waitresses, and she confirmed it was.
When the governor issued his apology on Monday, he described the dinner as outdoors.
It was in Napa, which was in the orange status, relatively loose compared to some other counties. It was to be an outdoor restaurant.
But the photo appears to...
And you even made the point, Nicole, when he said he was going to say it's an outdoor restaurant, and he couldn't quite get himself to say it. He goes, it was an outdoor restaurant. Like he was feeling guilty trying to sell it as an outdoor restaurant because
right.
he knew that
he was lying
it really
a
isn't.
Little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
To show the dinner being mostly indoors, with sliding glass doors opened up for air. The woman we spoke with says at one point those doors were closed because of noise complaints about the group.
It got louder and louder, and so they had some sliding glass doors that they were able to close. So then it was just a closed-off room, but you could still hear them. That's how loud they were.
She says the scene was hypocritical.
It was a very large group of people, and shoulder to shoulder, something that he's always telling us not to do. So, yeah, it was a bit annoying, for sure.
So just remember, when politicians tell us how we must live our life, and they spin this yarn that they're telling us this for public safety reasons, just remember, they will not live their life that way themselves, which means they don't believe the public safety, the public health aspect of it at all. It is all about control. They want to control us. That's how you instill fear. And if you instill enough fear in a populace, then they are more easily controlled. And that's what Jay Inslee, that's what Gavin Newsom are doing. And I can't believe, as hard as you and I have been working this story, Nicole. So Politico has a story about a huge Maui lobbyist get-together. And they say that there were lawmakers from California and Washington State at this Maui event at the Fairmont Kea Lani, which is a very nice hotel on Maui. And we have been trying for 2 days now, since Politico reported that Washington State lawmakers went to this event, and they have shut it down as far as getting out any information. We've both contacted sources that Nicole has, that I have, to try to find out which Washington lawmakers, while they're telling all of us that we have to shut down, stay in, and yet they went to a gorgeous Maui resort with about 100 other people and lobbyists so they could get their palms greased by these lobbyists who are trying to influence public policy. I will not rest until I find out which Washington state lawmakers went to this event. And I will also reach out to you now. If any of my listeners have a tip, we'll pursue them. We're not going to just go off of your tip. but we will pursue them and try to confirm them. But I am trying desperately to find out which lawmakers from our state, when they're telling the rest of us that we have to stay inside, shut her in, but they're going to a oceanfront resort on Maui with 100 lobbyists so that they can enjoy all the perks of being a government official. So if you have a tip for us, go ahead and text us at 98973. That's 98973, because we are trying desperately to find out which lawmakers from our state decided that their joy and entertainment going to Maui was more important than public health. And Hawaii has been one of the toughest shutdown states. Until just a few weeks ago, you had to quarantine once you got there. You had to go to your hotel or condo and just stay inside and for 14 days before you could go out anywhere. But all of a sudden, we find out lawmakers from Washington are whooping it up with lobbyists in Hawaii. So we will continue to try to get answers. And again, if you have a good tip for us, text us at 98973. That's 98973.
Some of the reports say that they're there right now, to be clear. It's very, all of the lawmakers normally submit their expense costs later, and that's usually the only way you can tie them to it. But then we're hearing that the foundation, whoever brought them to this conference, is picking up those costs so they don't have to report it. So I'm hearing things that sound really shady.
Yeah, and there have been people who have told us that they heard Jay Inslee was there. It's not Jay Inslee. Of that I am certain. But it is Democratic state lobbyists in our state who, again, will not live their life in the same manner that they are demanding that you and I live our life. It's all organized by a group called the Independent Voter Project. They are paying the expenses, so it's going to be tough, even through a public records request, unless we can just get the schedule. But there's a lot of Democratic lawmakers in our state, and we'd have to request through PDR the calendars for every single one of them. But we will get to the bottom of this, and I'll find out which sleazy lawmakers have once again decided you have to stay home, but they can go to a Maui beachfront resort, all expenses paid, because they're such big shot politicians. So we'll stay on top of that. You can text me at 98973, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Hey, it's Wednesday afternoon. That's when Brock Huard comes by for a visit. He's the saltine that cleanses my palate. And we'll join him next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, here the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
It is Wednesday afternoon, and that's when we have our weekly visit with our good friend Brock Huard, who you can hear on the Above and Beyond podcast at 710sports.com. And he's on all the time at that station. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Good afternoon. Good to talk to you. We took last week off, but it's good to talk to you again.
Good afternoon there, buddy. Nice to be talking to during these crazy times that we find ourselves in. Again, nice to hear a familiar voice.
They just keep getting crazier. I just found out today something that you and I have talked about a lot, that we care passionately about, that the high school sports season here in Washington, it's getting pushed back another week, which means every season is going to be compressed. They were going to try to do 8 weeks per sport. Now it's down to 7 weeks. But the way things are going, I don't think we're going to have any high school sports if they are, you know, closing down our economy again. Yeah. I just don't see how they're going to do at least the indoor high school sports that your family's so involved in and that I've been so involved with. And the whole thing just breaks my heart once again.
Yeah, you know, it was, a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I got a chance to be on a Zoom call with a high school football program in the state, and the coach had reached out to me and said, man, my kids are just hurting. They're just hurting. And we're trying to do these once a week on Zoom, big meetings to get together and just encourage each other. And would you mind jumping on? And man, it was hard, Dory, to look at all those faces, you know, of all those players and some of their family members in the background on the Zoom call, and just knowing, you know, just knowing how special sport is, and sport is community in many ways, and obviously how special community can be, you know. And yeah, it's sad. As we've walked through this now for week after week and month after month, I don't want to pretend to have any of the answers. I think as all of this has moved along, certainly, you know, you don't have all of the answers, but man alive, knowing what's happening to the young people and the cost and the sacrifice in their schooling, in their community, in their arts, in their drama, in their activities. I mean, it is just, it's pretty catastrophic for the young people.
Well, and I don't want to go deep into the details again, but I opened my show today, Brock, with an email from a listener, and his daughter's best friend had taken her life. And they're absolutely convinced it's because, you know, she lost her mom a few years ago. She's a latchkey kid, 12 years old, and she didn't have school. And I was talking to my wife about this, who works in the schools. And it's their job to look for warning signs. And so it's not just the sports part of this, but it's just the fact that it's, you know, extra sets of eyeballs on our kids. And you know, I always was aware of if there was a problem that I needed to be particularly alert to and talk to other professionals about with the kids that I coached. And that aspect of it, and that's where I say, it's kind of what you were just saying a moment ago. I'm not pretending that I know all the answers, but I have people who are furious at me because I dare rebel against what is being mandated, and they don't seem to consider the other side of things, and that, you know, the way we're doing things with government and with our schools and everything is having some tragic consequences as well. And I think people at least have to have their eyes open to the reality of both sides of this issue.
Yes, and there are, and there absolutely are hurts and, you know, just catastrophic loss in every way with this. So, yeah, very, very challenging. And, you know, I also just hope, as, you know, the governor has decided to once again take this step, that, that, you know, there is sounding boards in that building that he works in, and that, you know, really have been through the process. Now, do we understand the cost on this side? Do we understand what we're asking our people once again? And is there an end game? Right. Unlike the last time this was done, where the goalposts were just constantly moved and constantly changed and numbers constantly moved around, you know, is there just, you know, through this process of learning, can we give a finish line and an end game to any degree? And we'll be curious to see that moving forward as well.
On a much happier note.
Oh, good.
You have a bye this weekend with Fox, so you don't have any games. So you were telling me before we went on the air that you have something pretty cool planned.
Could be a little family road trip. Could be a little family road trip. Remember, we did this the last time way back when I was in Washington and went and visited my friends over there at Miner's Burgers and everywhere else. So, yeah, may have a chance, you know, with Haley going off to play college basketball, more than likely this will be the last Thanksgiving with her for a number of years as she'll get to participate in college athletics and college basketball in particular, women's college basketball, which is during this time. So, yeah, I think we're going to take a little family road trip. And you know what I like to do in with family road trips? I like to go rent a minivan. I don't know why, if it's just back to my roots, you know, when Peg and Mike Heward had the three boys and we would drive in the minivan to a mountain home, Idaho, to visit my uncle. We minivan to caravan to Nebraska, to California. So yeah, pretty good chance there could be a rental minivan, which, you know, I'm a big fan of the minivans and a little family road trip.
And are we saying what the destination is?
You know, that could be private information. You never know out there, Dory, in this day and age, but going to maybe hopefully see some national parks if those will hopefully still be open. It's a day, Dory, life is a day by day adventure, right? who knows what's going to be open tomorrow, hoping to see the Grand Canyon and do, you know, like the Brady family did, a march through the Grand Canyon, but you know, you never know.
Yeah. I will tell you, maybe my favorite family trip ever. We went river rafting on the Colorado. Wow. We took out close to Moab. We went to all the national parks in Utah, to Bryce Canyon and Zion and Arches. And then we went down further south to national parks. And I didn't know anything about national parks. My wife revealed to me and our girls that is the greatest treasure when you're vacationing. Those ranger walks are fantastic. And then you'll appreciate this. After we got our lungs all cleared out on the river and at all these wonderful national parks, then we drove across Nevada and went to Vegas for a few days.
Oh, classy. Yeah. I mean, totally classy. You got to get both ends of the spectrum. No doubt about
to fill the lungs up again. So I highly recommend that if you want. And I know this really isn't your style, but if you can end the trip with a few days in Vegas, Brock, you won't regret it.
I don't even know if Vegas is Vegas even open, Dory. I mean,
Nicole went to Vegas last weekend.
What's that?
Nicole went to Vegas last weekend.
Yeah. And the casinos were open.
She was there for the pools.
I got you. Yeah.
The food and all that. They were open though. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, As good and pure as you are, Brock, I think you could afford. I think you have enough credits that you can take a few debits and go to Vegas for a couple of days.
Well, I will say this: it's funny in talking to you today about this and about the possible little fun family road trip in a minivan. It is kind of a reminder back to, I guess, a little bit of March and April and May when we talked about this, of just cherishing your family time. You know, especially during these holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And yes, it is Thanksgiving and it is Christmas. We can say that. And just to cherish, you know, the time that you do have with your family. And as much of a bummer as it is that it may not be with other families and those plans have changed, you still have your family to love on and be with. And we're going to certainly continue to try to do that as much as we can.
Oh, my listeners are sick of my angst because my two younger daughters, they are not going to come over for Thanksgiving because they haven't been tested and they don't want to expose me. And it's breaking my heart. And I would rather take the risk and be together as a family. But they said, no, Dad, we'll do Thanksgiving together with our friends, and then we'll be back for Christmas, and everything will be good. But, yeah, this whole thing's tearing me up, believe me.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Don't think you're alone in that, my friend. I think there's a cost on the other side of so many.
Well, I am thrilled for you that you're going to get a little family road trip. I'm looking forward. I want to hear all about this.
I'll let you know next Wednesday. Yeah, hopefully the trip is wrapped up by then, and I'll let you know how it all goes.
I love it. Okay.
All right, Dory.
Brock Huard, you can listen to his podcast. Go to 710sports.com. Above and Beyond is just a fantastic, uplifting podcast. And I will talk to you next week. Thank you, Brock.
You got it, Dory.
All right. And love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text us at 98973. And we have lots more to come. It's the Dory Monson Show.
In that minivan, just rolls on, rolls on, rolls on.
You want to hear how much your politicians care about you and any challenges you might be facing with another economic shutdown? I think about all these business owners, all of these employees who are out of work. Did you hear what the King County Council has done? They approved their new budget this week, and they've added two new council or county worker holidays, Juneteenth and Indigenous Peoples Day. Those are going to be paid holidays for county employees. And they said the Indigenous Peoples Day will be if they can afford it. But Juneteenth, which honestly, 2 years ago, nobody had heard of Juneteenth. But now it's become very faddish. And so the county council, while the people, the citizens, the constituents are facing economic shutdowns, loss of jobs, devastation, turmoil, if you are a government employee for King County, over 10,000 of them, you get another paid day off. And you know how much that's going to cost you and me? $10 million a year. About half is going to be for all the employees who just take the day off with pay. And then about half of that is going to go to the county employees who are going to get time and a half while working on Juneteenth. It's another example of how government is completely out of touch with the working class people. You might be struggling. You might be dealing with economic turmoil, but you're going to have to give some of your dwindling money to King County so government employees can get another day off for Juneteenth. I'm going to talk to Reagan Dunn, King County Councilman, about that in the big lead at 2. That and lots more to come, coming up next.